Hare Krishna, dear devotees, all glories to Sri Janmashtami. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. So just for a few minutes, we're going to talk about Janmashtami, because last year, around this time, is when the police came. Which is not a big deal, because Krishna was born in jail. And we come from a culture where we get thrown in jail a lot, starting with our Lord. So, but we're inching toward the time of Krishna's appearance, which is at midnight. So first we'll say a few prayers, and then let's just talk a little bit about Krishna and Vrindavan. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milatam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamala Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanditam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Anshakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Go Premanande Hari Bol. So Sri Vrindavan Dham is Krishna's personal abode in the Brahma Samhita, which is a very special scripture spoken by Lord Brahma. He's the first living being in the universe. Brahma is born atop a lotus stem that comes from the navel of Vishnu. And he's born into a dark universe. And although he's the most intelligent being, he's completely helpless. Oma Jnanatimirandasya, born into darkness. And Brahma tries with all his intelligence to figure out his source, his origin. As most people do, most societies try to find out where they're from, try to seek out the source, try to make meaning of their lives. Brahma did also. This is a natural inclination for a human being to want to inquire, who am I? In fact, the Vedas say that this is the main duty of anyone who has a human body, is to make this inquiry, to ask, who am I? and to try to solve the problems of life. And the main problems of life are birth, death, old age, and disease. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. Brahma searched up and down the lotus stem, but with his imperfect senses and in complete darkness, he couldn't find out anything about his origin. And therefore, with a sincere heart, he sat waiting for some kind of instruction. And he received that instruction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sent his representative, Divya Saraswati, Divine Saraswati, who came before him and instructed him in chanting a mantra. And she said, Tapastam tapayetena tavasiddhir bhavishyati. By chanting this mantra, you will attain all perfection. She called it tapasya. Perform tapasya. Tapasya means to make some sacrifice. Our senses always want gratification, and they want it now. They talk to us constantly. The mind has demands. It's always asking for something else. It's never satisfied. Whatever we give it at any period of our life, you can guarantee it will change. Any of you who are adults now, you had a great demand on your parents at one time for toys. I guarantee it. You begged them, please, I want this toy. I have to have this toy, otherwise I'll die. And after you got that toy, maybe 1 week or 1 year, or maybe it took 10 years, but right now you're not thinking about that toy anymore. Your mind's moved on to something else. And in adulthood, we have so many desires. I want this, I want that. These are the mind's demands. And the tongue has so many demands. You can just walk by a refrigerator and it'll talk to you. Say, please, open me up. There's ice cream in the bottom. I have to have it or I'll die. And the ears are hankering to hear so many different kinds of sounds. And the eyes want to see scenes of sense gratification. They pull in a different direction. So although human life is very valuable and has capability of understanding the highest thing, Brahman, our source, God, still one has to perform tapasya. Tapasya means heat. There's a friction that's caused when my mind says, go this way, and I say, not today, we're staying here. We're going to sit here for a while. Or when I tell my tongue, we're only eating certain things, not everything. And Brahma had the great fortune of chanting a mantra, because in the mantra there's a taste. It subdues the mind. Man means mind and tra means to deliver. So the mind in all its movings from here to there, Krishna says that it's the mind goes. It travels from here to there, everywhere around the universe. And the mantra charms the mind, just like if you've ever seen a snake charmer, when they play their shanai reed instrument, and the cobra goes back and forth, becomes mesmerized. So the mantra can also capture the mind and subdue it. So Brahma performed these austerities by chanting his mantra and praying for spiritual knowledge. And then, Teni Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Yatsuraya. From within the heart of Brahma, Krishna revealed knowledge. So Krishna is within the heart of every living being. He says so in the Bhagavad Gita, in many places. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hride Sherajunati Stiti. He says, I'm there standing with every living being within the heart. And he says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Tadami Puti Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. If someone just has a little sincerity and asks the question, who am I? What is the most important thing in life? Then Krishna gives intelligence from within the heart. So he gave that intelligence to Brahma from within his heart. And when Brahma chanted the mantra, for a long time, he was able to see the spiritual world and understand it. And he passed on that knowledge to his disciple Narada Muni. And Narada Muni gave that same instruction, the process and the instruction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami that when we wander in this world aimlessly, we become fortunate when we meet a devotee physician. And from the devotee physician, we can get instruction and hymns. Hymns means transcendental sound or mantras. So all of the great devotees who have received these instructions and hymns have imbibed them and passed them on. And therefore it's come down in disciplic succession, intact, the way one picks a mango from the top of a tree and passes it from one hand to the next until it comes down intact to the person at the very bottom who can receive that mango without breakage. So in this great line called parampara or disciplic succession, most recently, within 500 years only, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in West Bengal. And the Shastra says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Swayam Bhagavan, but he's also combined with Radha Rani. And he comes in this form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a devotee. He's Krishna himself, but he comes as a devotee to distribute love for himself. Because after Krishna had come, he thought to himself, Anarpita chirinchirat karuna yavatirna kalo samarpaitum unato jvala sarasam bhakti shriyam. For a long time I've not given the most sublime mellow of loving service. And therefore he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute freely this knowledge about Krishna's own realm, Goloka Vrindavan and Sri Vrindavan Dham, and Krishna's loving exchanges with his devotees. This is called Nijadamni. Goloka Dhamni Nijadamni Taleta Tasya Devi Mahesha Haridhama Suteshu Teshu Te Te Prabhava Nichaya Vihitascha Yena Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma describes how there are many realms that we can live in. First of all, lowest is Devidam. That's where we live right now. Devidam also means, Devi means Durga. And Durga means Durgachati, very difficult to go. We can't leave her clutches, it's very hard to get away. Devi rides on a? What? Tiger. And she has how many arms?
Ten
arms. And she carries a? Three points. And on those 3 points, so what are those 3 points represent? Adiatmic, adipotic, and adidaivic. Three miseries of life. So she's holding on to the poor, bound down jiva and jabbing with that trident. And so if one somehow or other gets free from that grasp and gets away, she has 9 more arms to grab hold and pull us back. So Durgachati means very difficult to go. So Goloka Namni Nijadamni Tale Tatasya Devi Mahesha Huridam. Above Devidam, where we are living now, is Maheshdam, abode of Mahesh. Above Maheshdam is Haridam, the abode of Hari, Vaikuntha Dham. And above Haridam, Lord Brahma says, is Goloka. And this is the Nijadam. This is the personal abode of Lord Krishna. So the reason Krishna comes, he makes his advent personally as Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with his two-arm form. Looks very human-like. Somyavapu, very pleasing form. Looks just like human form. He comes and he shows what are the loving exchanges in his topmost abode, his Nijadam. Nijam means his personal place, his personal residence. And this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. There are 12 cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam is not different from the body of Krishna. The first canto is the lotus feet of the Lord. And moving up through the cantos, up through the 10th canto is the smiling face of the Lord. 12th canto is the crown on the top of Krishna's head. The Srimad Bhagavatam is described, Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishaya Shaya Lokasya Dhanam Swastayanam Mahat. It's the incarnation of Krishna directly. And the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the advent of Krishna. When we go through the first 9 cantos, starting from the lotus feet of the Lord all the way up to the 10th canto, we're learning about the temporary nature of this world. In fact, Shukadev Goswami, who's speaking to his disciple Maharaj Parikshit in the Srimad Bhagavatam, begins by telling him about the universal form of the Lord. When we look around and see the world nowadays, what do we see? What do you see? Freeway? Telephone pole? Anything else? Huh?
Cars.
Lots of cars. Traffic. It's hard to see anything nowadays. In fact, last night when I walked out on my porch, it was a very dark night, and I saw the stars, and I hadn't seen them in a long time. I realized that I hadn't actually seen the stars because there's so much light pollution around the city. You can't see the stars. What to speak of noticing the sunrise? Do you ever notice the sunrise in a very significant way? It's the biggest event of the day. What is it? The sun is Krishna's eye. Yat chakshuresa savita sakala grahanam raja samasta sura mutira shesha teja. It's keeping everyone alive. It's the sun is the source of all the energy within this world. For all the energy, all the food stuff, everything. If the sun deviated from its course by one scintilla, we'd either be burnt or frozen. But it's perfectly measured, this immense energy source arranged by Krishna in this universe. And when the sun rises, I'm late for work. I miss it every time. Sun's in my eyes, I gotta go. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Ayur Harati Vai Pumsam. Udnya Nashtam Chayanaso. It says the rising and setting, the setting of the sun is simply taking away your life, unless you're hearing and chanting about Krishna. So if one's hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, she hears how Shukadev Goswami describes to his disciple Parikshit Maharaj about the universal form of the Lord, looking out and seeing the world in a different way. How the trees are actually the hair on the body of the Supreme Person. The universal form means the universe is one form of the Lord. What are the mountains? According to Srimad Bhagavatam. The stacks of his bones. How about the rivers? That one's an easy one. What would you say the rivers are in the universal form of the Lord? The veins. How about the birds? The artistic sense of the Lord. And the days and nights are the opening and closing of his eyes. Whole description is given there from Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj to instill in his disciple a feeling of gratitude for living in this world. He tells him how the fruits are coming from the trees as charity to all living beings. They're feeding, Krishna's feeding everyone in the universe. Isn't it a fact? The Lord has filled up the universe with food and money, but how much of it can you get? How much can you get? The Lord has filled up the universe with food and money, but please tell me, how much can you get? Someone tell me. Satyadev said, not much. Huh? How much? A stomach full only. World's full of wealth. How much can you get? Huh? If you're lucky. Some people get more, some people get less. You may try your whole life and get nothing. You may not try and everything comes for you. And Vedas say very clearly, nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. There's a supplier. Look out and see the universe, said Shukadeva Goswami. See how the supplier is feeding everyone, every living being. You know Hastinapur? Have you ever been to Hastinapur? It's New Delhi now. No. Indraprastha. Where's Hastinapur? Western UP? Well, in the capital city, they, in any case, they used to keep elephants. This was the sign of opulence. Indraprastha, they would keep many, many elephants, the king. And Hastinapur, wherever it is named for keeping elephants. So the kings, the Raj, even recently in India, to show their opulence, they keep elephants. Why? Because it takes a lot of food to feed an elephant. If you've got a pet at home, like a cat, little kitty cat, it takes a little bowl about this big. To feed one elephant, it takes a whole yard full of food in one day. And if you have hundreds of elephants, it shows your opulence. The kings have that. Nowadays, who keeps elephants? Do you know anybody who has any elephants? This is Kali Yuga. People can't even afford to feed one elephant. Barely afford to feed a dog. But Krishna is feeding everybody. He's feeding all the elephants in the world. He's feeding all the dogs and the cats and the squirrels and the honey badgers. Every species of life. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo viditati kaman. There is one supreme eternal, many plural eternals. And the difference is, one is the maintainer and the other is maintained. No one can say they're independent. Krishna is all-powerful. He's the supplier. He's making the sun and moon move according to their schedule, and he's feeding every living entity in the universe. Shukadeva Goswami taught this to his disciple as the beginning point, that within the heart there must be this overwhelming feeling of gratitude that I'm being maintained by the Supreme. He's giving me my breath. He's giving me my intelligence. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattak smritir gyanam abhovanamacha. My intelligence is coming from Krishna. Remembrance. And then he tells his disciple in many different ways about how this world is a temporary place. It's an entangling place. Very difficult place, because everyone makes the biggest mistake from the very first day of their life. And that big mistake is to think, I am this body. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami tells a story about the king of Ushinara. In Ushinara, there was a kingdom and a valiant king who went out to fight against his enemies alongside his warriors, and he died in that battle. When his many queens and followers found him on the battlefield, his limbs were broken. He was covered with dust, and he had fallen on the battlefield dead, biting his lip out of prowess in fighting the enemy. His queens gathered around him and began to weep, clinging to his dead body. They wept and wailed into the evening air. And the process is that one must immediately burn the body of the person who has left it before the sun goes down, because that soul is so attached to the body that if the body isn't immediately burned, the soul will remain attached and try to hover. So Yamaraj, to give instruction to these queens, appeared there on the scene as a little boy. And he walked up to all the queens and he said, why are you all crying? And they said, our king is dead, alas. He said, what do you mean that he's dead? And they said, little boy, just see, he's right here. He's dead. He's lying on the ground. He said, he's right there. How can you say he's dead? They say, he's dead. He's gone. The little boy said, why gone? He has the same eyes. He has the same nose. He has the same ears. Hands are there. Feet are there. How can you say he's gone? I see him right there. They say, no, gone, dead, away. He said, you're not making sense. I see him right before me. And then they asked him, who are you, little boy? You are very intelligent for a small boy. You're asking all these questions. And he said, I'm Yamaraj, and I've come here to tell you that you've never actually seen your husband. The king you see there lying on the ground is only an external shell. You've never actually had the vision of your husband, the king. And he instructed him, those queens and the followers, there's no reason to lament for the body. The body's finished one way or the other. Vayura nilamam ratam atedam bhashmantam shariram. Om kratos smarakritam smara, kratos smarakritam smara. The Upanishad says, let this temporary body be burned to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. Shukadeva Goswami, in so many ways, instructed Parikshit Maharaj not to be attached to the temporary body and senses. He told him, Deha Patra Kalatra Deshu Atmasaini Susatsapi, Tesham Pramatu Nidhanam Pashana Pina Pashyati. That all the things you think are giving you security in this world, your deha means your body. I keep my body strong. I take supplements. I run every day on the sand, and therefore I'm very hearty and healthy. But your body can't protect you. Apatrakalatradishu, the wife, the children, I think all of them will give me security, will give me protection. But Shukadeva Goswami in the Bhagavatam says, no. These are fallible soldiers. No one can protect you. Only Krishna can protect you. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishingha nartasya chaganam dhanbatina majatono taptasya pratividirya yihanjasheshtas tavadvibo tanubritam tvadupekshitanam. And the great Prahlad Maharaj said, you can't save your children. If you take them to the doctor when they're sick and you say, can you guarantee that you'll save them? What would the doctor say? What do your doctor say? Can you guarantee that you'll save them? What will he say? I guarantee it? Yeah, I can only try, right? I can only try too. I'll do my best. And Prahlad Maharaj says, a boat on water can't save a drowning man. Because in the most ideal circumstances, my friend Satyadev Prabhu was a paramedic for 20 years. I asked him, how many people did you save? He said, I never saved anyone. I only prolonged their suffering. But he also told me so many stories about people who should have died, but they lived, and people that should have lived, and they died. And no one could predict it, and no one could reverse it. So who is the protector? Who is the maker? Who is the breaker in this world? It's not me. It's not Barack Obama. It's not BP oil. All these things are going on, Krishna says, by the force of the material nature, the mighty material nature. It's inexorable. It's unstoppable. Time is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Shukadeva Goswami teaches all this in the first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam to his student to prepare him to understand who is Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. Krishna is Yogeshvara, Yogeshvara. He's the supreme master of all mystics, the mystic of all mystics. He's the origin of everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it himself, Matak paratanam nanya kinchirasti dhananjaya mayi sarvimidam protam sutre manigana iva. He says, everything rests on me as pearls are strung on a thread. When you look at a string of pearls, can you see the thread? But you know it's there, don't you? How do you know it's there? Come on, we have a lot of engineers in here, I'm sure. How do you know it's the thread is there in the pearls? Work with me. Because what?
We've broken some chains and found.
Huh?
She's broken some chains and found there.
Because she broke some and found one inside. And you can see the shape. It's whole, it's held together. So how is this world held together? How is everything moving according to plan? Krishna tells it, I'm holding everything. So this is Krishna. He's not some ordinary person who takes birth. And why is this important? Why am I speaking about this on Janmashtami? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, very important verse. If we remember this one verse from Bhagavad Gita, we'll be fortunate. And if we remember it tonight on Janmashtami, we'll be especially fortunate. And that's why we're all here, right?
Yeah.
Why does anyone wake up in the morning and do anything? To invoke bad fortune? We wake up, get on our knees and pray, oh my Lord, today please let me lose all my money. May my children drop out of school. May the government discover those hidden deposits. May I fall sick? We don't say that. We ask for all kinds of things, all kinds of favors and fortune, right? Everyone's looking, putting horseshoes, rabbit's feet. That's what they do in America, rabbit's foot for good luck. Good luck with that. Next life, you may become a rabbit. We want good fortune. So the best fortune comes on Janmashtami, remembering this one verse. Janma karma chame dibhyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakva deham punar janma naite mam eti sorjana. Within this one verse lies all our fortune. And that's why we're all here tonight. Janma karma chame divyam. Divyam means something divine. What does divine mean? It means it's so exalted. It's so beyond our common experience. It's from another world. It's got everything that we want. Krishna's birth and activities are divyam. They're not like anyone else's birth in this material world. He's not forced to come here. It's totally by his own sweet will. And Krishna says, Janma karma chame dibhyam evam yo veti tatvataha. If you realize this one fact, that Krishna, his birth and his activities are divyam, they are divine, then what does Krishna say? Chakva deham punar janma naiti. When you give up this present body, if you've understood just one thing, if you don't do anything else in this life, if you understand this one thing, that Krishna's activities are divine and his birth in this world is divine, you understand this, these two things. Chakva deham punar janma. When you give up this body, you will not take birth again in the material world. You will go directly to the spiritual world. And you don't have to return to the world of birth, death, old age, and disease. Is that a good idea?
Yes.
I'm not convinced.
Yes.
We'd rather stay here in the material world, right?
No.
Nothing wrong with a little birth, death, old age. You've got to take the good with the bad. Birth, death, old age. It happens to everyone. Why question it? Right?
No.
No, the transcendentalist realizes that I'm not part of this world and I have free will that I can exercise using my full volition to come to the highest stage of transcendence. In quality, we are the same as Krishna. No difference. In quantity, we're different. Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitam rama bhuya yakalpate. Krishna says, if you engage in service to me, you'll rise above the three modes of material nature and come to this spiritual level where there's no lamentation. Na shochati, na kankshati, no hankering, no lamenting. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu, see all living entities equally. So Krishna appeared in the house, in the prison house of Vasudeva and Devaki, in his Vishnu form, with four arms, with all the paraphernalia of Lord Vishnu. And then he was transferred by his father, Vasudeva, to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And when he went there, he exchanged Krishna for the daughter who had been born to Yashoda, who was none other than the primal Shakti of the Lord. He brought that daughter back to the prison house. And because of Krishna's mystic yogamaya potency, no one saw that he had taken the child away and exchanged that child for the girl. Jai Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ji Ki Jai. And these are only the beginning pastimes of Krishna in Vrajadham. The whole 10th canto, 90 chapters of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam are all about the divine activities of Krishna in his abode, which is the highest abode in the spiritual world. But when he comes to this world, he comes for the benefit of the devotees and to kill the demons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Again and again, millennium after millennium, Krishna comes over and over again to save his devotees and to cut down the bad elements in the world, because he's our protector. So we're maintaining this society on the order of our spiritual master and the founder of Acharya Viskan, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is sitting on this Vyasasan, the representative of Srila Vyasadeva. He has passed down to us this greatest literature in the world, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, as it is, with the commentaries of the great Acharyas, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all the books that you see here. So our mission here at ISV, that stands for ISKCON of Silicon Valley, it also stands for Individual, Spontaneous, and Voluntary. We invite you all to participate in an individual way, individual service to the Lord, voluntarily and spontaneously. What is spontaneous devotional service, you ask? Did somebody ask that? I thought I heard someone say. Just like if you're walking down the street, the man's walking down the street, you read this in the paper. The fire is burning down the house, and he sees some child is in the house. He doesn't think about it. He just drops everything, risks his life. He jumps through the window and grabs the child and comes back out again. And the next day, everyone says, oh, you're a hero, you saved the child. And he says, I didn't even think about it. Naturally, he just jumped through the window. It was not a mental process. It was not an intellectual process. He just felt it and he jumped. So spontaneous service means that within the heart of every single living entity, there is a desire to serve the Supreme Person. This is described in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karu Udoi. Within the heart of every living being is a desire to spontaneously serve Krishna. So this mission is meant to create an environment for everyone to feel the force of that spontaneous service that's already there within their heart, to uncover it. Because as Srimad Bhagavatam says, Savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhakti radhoksaje ahaitukiya pratiyata yayatma suprasediti. There's only two things that can actually satisfy the self. Do you want to know what they are? I'm not convinced.
Yes.
Unmotivated an uninterrupted service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam says these are the only two things that can actually satisfy the self. Not Coca-Cola. Not video games. Doesn't matter how much money you have, because there are people that have billions of dollars and they're still not satisfied. But unmotivated, uninterrupted service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is our advocacy here at ISV, to promote individual, spontaneous, and voluntary service. So on this night of Janmashtami, I am inviting everyone to please come here and join us if you're not already a part of our mission here. This is a dynamic mission started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago and carried on through disciplic succession to this very day. We're offering knowledge, wisdom to the world, which is vital and which is lacking. And we're drinking it ourselves here on a regular daily basis. So we invite everyone to please come participate with us on a regular basis. We have programs here every Wednesday night. We have a dynamic program filled with hearing and chanting and study of Bhagavad Gita. We also have Saturday morning starting at 7:30 a.m. time to come in and learn about Bhakti Yoga and hear from Srimad Bhagavatam in a very peaceful, nice atmosphere. Very sincere students are coming. And also every Sunday we have programs here where everyone can bring their family and be in a spiritual environment. It's the only thing that can actually soothe the soul. So please come join us on a regular basis and make every day Janmashtami, because we don't have to wait for once a year. Every moment can be Janmashtami, because the Lord is there waiting to make his appearance in our lives. We only have to turn our attention toward him. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we have 35 minutes until midnight, and right now we're going to give away a few awards to some of Gandharvika Radha's members of her group called CHAD. We have a group here. We invite all of you to join, even if you can't come here Wednesdays, Saturdays, or Sundays, or any other day. We have a Yahoo group that you can join. CHAD, C-H-A-D, stands for Chapter a Day. So these devotees, every day, without fail, chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Anybody here that does that? Chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. Do you know how long it takes to sing one chapter of Gita? Of course, it depends on what chapter. What do you think the minimum time is? Would you say? Huh? About 5 minutes. If you chant chapter of 15, which is 20 verses, or 12, which is only 20 verses, it only takes you 5 minutes. You can do it right now if you want to see. And then, of course, there's the 11th chapter, the 18th chapter. They're a little bit longer, but not much. Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita in 45 minutes. He's Yogeshwara, Yogeshwara. But these devotees chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day, and you can join this club. All you have to do is make a vow to chant, take 5-10 minutes every day to sing one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and then you'll be a member of CHAD. So, Gandharvika, we have some gifts to give out to some of the devotees who had made a vow to chant one chapter a day, and they kept up their vow. And now we're going to give them these books, which are a summary study of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Are your students here? They're all here? Okay, you read out the name and I'll hand them to them. But I need your help. I know it's a little late at night, right? Or is it not? It's a little bit late. And it's around 11:30, but we're all here together, so I need a little help in passing these out. You need to give a big applause when I hand these to over. And as soon as she calls the name, I'll hand them out to the individual students who have... And so what did they do? Purushottam. This is a good time. Just like if you find out your favorite shopping mall, it's 100% off, then you go there that day, right? So in Purushottam Mas, the Shastra gives us the instruction that you get extra spiritual benefit in a big way. So these devotees took advantage of that month, spiritual intelligence, and every single day they chanted chapter 15 without fail. And so she is rewarding her students with these beautiful books. This is an illustrated guide to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay.